chapter 5. As we ended last week, we found out that the emphasis in the book of James was on prayer. It went from money and from patience and to prayer. And so, it ended in prayer, and that's what we're going to be dealing with. And we're going to be dealing with some doctrinal issues. Going to do a little teaching today. But look at verse 9. He says, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door." It talked about being patient and how we're to treat each other. No matter how long you nurse a grudge, it doesn't get any better. Do you ever notice that? If you're mad about something and all it does is gets worse. So we just want to keep that in mind. If you got a grudge against something or somebody, it don't get better. Not until you get it dealt with. And so it's just going to fester. But let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, again, we do thank you. So down in 13, we're going to actually start in verse 14, but verse 13, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Now, elders, there's a lot. Do you ever read these verses, if you've never heard it taught, and get kind of confused about them, or how you're supposed to pray for people, or what this is talking about, because there's a lot of things about people praying for other people and God healing people, and then you see in some places where they've got these so-called healers that supposed to. It all kind of ties together, and you look at these verses and you just kind of sometimes wonder what's going on with them, and we're going to kind of go through that today. But notice here in verse 14, he says, "Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church." Now, elders is plural and church is singular, okay? Now, let me quote this. This comes out of Titus 1:5. Titus says, Paul said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordaining elders in every city as I had appointed thee." Now, in our churches today, some believe that the elders and pastors are the same. I don't believe they are. I just don't. Because the simple fact of it is, a bishop is a pastor. God calls a pastor to be a pastor. And elders, according to Scripture, are appointed. Okay? And ordained by a pastor according to the Scripture. And there's a lot of people say that, well, the elders and pastors. No, I don't believe that a bit. Now, I believe that an elder can be a pastor. Okay? Because when Titus, when he went into this town, and Paul said, "Go into town and find elders of the church," and he said, and ordain them. I believe that when you had five or six elders in a church, the Lord will always bring one to the top. Remember, this was when he wrote this. The New Testament church was just starting, and when they went in these towns and started churches, they didn't have pastors. And so Paul commissioned Titus to go into the towns and ordain elders. And then it doesn't matter. If you select five men, one is going to kind of come to the top. And that one, he's probably going to be the head elder, which a lot of times, no doubt, that God called to them to be a pastor. Okay? But according to Scripture, So that's what we get there. Now notice in verse 14, he says, "And any is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray. Now, let them, meaning more than one elder, the ones that were ordained, pray for this sick person, okay? And that's, and are in the opposite of that, or do we bring other pastors from other churches in to help us pray over the sick folks? See, the Bible doesn't say that. It says the elders in the church, let them pray. It doesn't even say for the pastor. Now it can't be talking about pastors. It's talking about elders that have been chosen, selected, and ordained by a pastor to do this. And that's what Timothy's job was. And so we're just trying to teach through some things. In the context, in verse 14, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them, the elders, pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And you might, this guy may, it looks like maybe he's bedfast. You know, he can't get out of bed. So is it right for that person to call the pastor and elders to come and pray for him? Yeah, it is. It's almost like a hospital, nursing home, going and praying over. Here again, you see the elders doing that thing. And so just then verse 15, and the prayers of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now notice, the Lord shall raise him up. It is Christ that does the healing, not the man. And the request got through to Christ by prayer. Again, it seems like it's talking about maybe going to a hospital or, you know, that sort of thing. So in a New Testament church, it's your responsibility to let the pastor and the elders know if you or someone in your family is sick and want prayer. It just makes common sense, and that's why we... Well, who's sick? And, you know, that's why we go through that thing, just asking for prayer. And it's right for to call ahead and say, hey, preacher, or call one of the main men of the church and say, hey, pray for us this Sunday. Or there's nothing wrong with saying, can you come out and pray with us? Nothing wrong with that. That's all biblical. And so... But notice, and you're getting into some doctrinal issues here. In verse 14, it says, remember, it talks about oil. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, what about this? Well, this oil that most pastors, when they do this, is olive oil. They'll use olive oil. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. But what is oil a type of in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. Okay? And the oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. We know that. When you put the oil on somebody or you anoint their head, you're not anointing them with the Holy Spirit. You're anointing them with oil, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Just like when we take communion and we take the juice, we know it's a picture of the blood of Christ. And when we eat the bread, we know it's a picture of the body of Christ. And that's what this is done here. And it's a picture of doing that thing. And so... Now, here's the thing about this. According to the scripture here, it says, and they shall, right in the middle, right at the end of verse 15, if this thing is done, the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. And they shall be, when, according to the scripture here, when this is followed, there's no misfires. Right? Now, verse 16. Confess your sins one to another. Does it say that? Do you know how many churches? No, it says false. You don't confess your sins to another man. You confess your faults one to another. And that's like, well, me standing up and saying, well, you know, I'm just a bonehead about these things. And I'm sorry, but that's the way I am, and I'll try to change, and I do dumb things, and then it's my faults. You don't confess your sins. You know why? They'll use them against you. And a lot of times they'll use their faults against you too. So you see, again, if this thing is followed to the letter, as the Bible said, it is an absolute certain thing that they will be healed. Now notice that. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, if this is for... Now, the question that I'm asking you, if this is for us today, how many people that are sick or dying do you think there would be in the world today? How many people with cancer or that's dying or just sick that wouldn't want to absolutely be healed? How many churches, instead of us having 25 or 30 in here, if this was for us today, man, this thing would be packed wanting us to pray for them and healing them. Right? I mean, you have to think about these things. How many churches, if this was for us today, and according to this in the context, when it's followed to the T, there is an absolute thing that'll happen. How many churches today, if this thing was for us today, would ever have a need for money? They wouldn't. No. There are so many churches today. I read a deal that come across the Drudge Report the other day about churches that's closing in South Carolina. This was where that thing was about. I mean, it's amazing. Now, if this was for us today, what would people pay to be healed? I mean, just out of a strictly love offering. So we have to look at things. Now, let me show you this. Because people will come in and say, well, preacher, what, you know, we done this and it didn't work. What's going on? Well, they took it out of context. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, when we first started this book, we went through this. We're teaching doctrinally. Now, how many messages have I preached out of James on a spiritual application? A bunch. And they're rough. And they can use them for today. But doctrinally, who is the book written to? Look at James chapter 1 and verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Who's it written to? It's written to the Hebrews. I mean, you go look at Corinthians, and who's it written to? The Corinthians. Who are they? Gentiles. Us. And you look at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Who's the book written to? It's certainly not written to the Gentiles. The name kind of catches you if you're careful at it. Hebrews. And when it's for doctrinally, for the tribulation period. But we've seen how much good we can get out of it, just dealing with our hearts and everything. But when you come to these texts, you have to explain them, or people say, wait a minute. Now, they may not say anything, but in their mind, I've prayed about getting healed, and it didn't work. That thing is not, you're right. But during the tribulation period, that thing is an absolute sure-fired thing. It will work. And before church age started, that thing worked. And so we need to understand what's going on here. So, remember who this was. It's written to the Jews, when was it written for, and who doctrinally? To the Jews during the tribulation. Now, what is in the Bible, in the New Testament, what is healing? It's a sign. Look at Mark. Look at the book of Mark. Now, let me say something. Look at the last chapter of Mark, Mark 16. Does God heal today? Absolutely. Does he hear fervent prayer? Absolutely. But God deals on his basis as he wants to heal. And we know that people, later on in the Bible, where we saw, and we'll see again, that people were sick and Paul couldn't heal them. What was going on? Well, but look at this. Look at Mark 16. Got to remember, healing in the context is dealing, it's a sign. And look at verse 17, chapter 16 of Mark, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Well, who's he talking about? Well, you go back and you'll find out, and he's talking about the whole chapter dealing with Jews. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he received up in heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they, who's that? The apostles went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the words with signs following. See, healing, this type of healing was a sign. And what does it say in 1 Corinthians 1:22? For the Jews require a sign. If you want a Jew to believe anything, you're going to have to show him a sign. For a Jew requires a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. What do? We read. We got a New Testament Bible. The Jews, they have to see a sign. And so that's what we're dealing with here. And so that's why it didn't work. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. And this is Paul talking later on after the book of Acts, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, New Testament Christianity is not, it is going through trials and tribulations and sicknesses and everything else, and God not healing. I don't care how much you pray over them. Why? Because God uses it to deal with that person about something, just the way he did with Paul. Now, Paul, in the book of Acts, could walk by somebody that was sick, and they would get healed. That's how much a healer he was. Literally, if they was, he just walked by them, and his shadow go on, and they'd jump up healed. Now, Paul can't even heal himself. Why? What's going on? It's strange. God didn't heal Paul. Well, it's just because he didn't do what it said in the book of James. Paul knew what the book of James was said, okay? Look at Philippians. Now, never be ashamed to ask for prayer for sickness, okay? God heals who he wants to. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. Then I'm telling you what, when I pray for somebody that's sick, I pray that God heals them. And if there's something wrong with me, I want you to pray that God will heal me. Not because he's trying to teach me something or somebody else something and using that to try to bring glory to his name. But do whatever. If I'm sick, pray God. Well, right? I mean, we don't want to get in God's way, but God knows what he's doing. And I'm just soon to have you pray for my healing. And so, look at Philippians 2, look at verse 25. Paul says, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brethren, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants." Verse 26, "For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick." Well, why couldn't you heal him, Paul? Well, I couldn't. "For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more careful, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because of the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his own life, to supply your lack of service toward me." So Paul ends up by telling them that they should have been taking better care of their preacher, and Paul had to do it. And Paul couldn't, but he couldn't heal him. Okay? And so, now think, look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 20. "Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus I have left at Melita sick." Sick. Paul couldn't, had to leave him there. He was so sick he couldn't take him with him. Now, what do you think that God thought that was so important that he just put that little verse in there for us to understand 2,000 years later? Listen to this. Acts chapter 12, Herod killed James, was going to kill Peter and put him in prison, and God supernaturally opened the jail door, and you remember Peter went out free, right? He sent an angel. He had to kick Peter in the side to even get him up. In Acts chapter 16, another prison break happens again when Paul and Silas are in there. Acts 28, Paul is in the Roman prison. Now, notice, you got in 1st and 2nd Peter, we had angels coming in and doing these miracles to the prophets. Acts chapter 28, Paul is in a Roman prison and he doesn't get out. And he gets his head cut off. What's the difference? The simple difference is there's a difference between the first chapter, 9 chapters of the book of Acts and the last chapters. You know this. Yes, things are changing. It's a book of Acts. Things going on. In the first part of it, angels are showing up and doing things. They have healings and just like they did back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and them books. And remember in Acts chapter 7, the Jews rejected the Holy Spirit for the last time. They rejected God the Father in the Old Testament. They rejected Jesus Christ in the Gospels, and they rejected the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 7 with Stephen. And from that point on, everything changed. God set aside Israel for a while, and he went out to the Gentiles to take a Gentile bride. And so, remember, the Jews require a sign. Well, if he's not working with Jews anymore, then he don't need signs. Now he needs a book that the Gentiles can read, because the Greeks, which are Gentiles, seek after wisdom by reading. We have the books of the Bible started showing up. And so all these things are done away with until you get to the tribulation period. When the rapture of the church takes place, the tribulation starts. Who does God go back and start dealing with? The Hebrews. You got Hebrews and James. And that's where we're at in our context of why it's there. So you got to look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and look at verse 23. He says, drink no longer water, but use a little wine. Now, all you winos know this verse, okay? Drink no longer water, but a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. In other words, get some enzymes in your stomach. That's what he's... You got stomach problems? That's what... And by the way, pure grape juice is loaded with enzymes. That's what it did. Settled the stomach. Why? Why didn't Paul just say, just let me walk by you and I'll heal you? No, it's not needed anymore. We have a book of the Bible, and that, you know, that makes you wonder, by the tribulation, there may not be any more Bibles. What there's going to be a, remember, there's going to be 144,000 prophets witnessing. They may not be any more Bibles by that time. And so just kind of a thought about that thing. So anyway, let me get how God in the Old Testament healed things. I just showed you, just because you get healed doesn't mean you're saved. Do you understand? People, we've got denominations think that if you got healed, I have talked to people. I know a guy that was drowning, and something happened, and he got out of it, and he thinks he got saved right there. Knew nothing to do with God. Just because you get healed doesn't mean you're saved. Okay? This came out of 1 Kings 13. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up so that he could not pull it in again unto him. Remember that story? Leprosy. The next chapter, the man of God heals him. But in the next chapter, you'll see how wicked Jeroboam was. So remember, when God does heal somebody, you mean he'd heal an unsaved person? Sure he does. Because somebody, a Christian, may be praying for that person. And through this healing, they might get saved. Okay? So you need to remember that. Go to John, book of John. We're just looking at a bunch of scripture today, okay, about this thing, because it is important. John chapter 5, and I want you to get this, what this is talking about. John chapter 5, look at verse 13. Remember, we're talking about this thing of getting healed. Does God still heal? Absolutely. He heals, in it seems, in direct contrast to the prayer of his saints. Not them getting all hyped up and slapping somebody in the forehead and knocking them backwards and down. It's the prayer. And some of us would like to just slap somebody anyway. Oh, yeah. No, don't go there. But anyway, look at John chapter 5. Look at verse 13. And he that was healed wist not who it was. Now, this guy got healed, didn't even know who Jesus was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus finding him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come on thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which he had which had made him whole. Now look at that thing. He told him to sin no more, and it looks like he maybe that this sickness could have been because of sin. And by the way, not all sin or not all sicknesses is because of sin, which is taught today in churches. And so so notice that thing. Now look at John chapter 9. Look at another case. John chapter 9. You know, the simple fact of it is, maybe God doesn't want to heal you. He wants you to accept what's happening to you in your heart and glorify him through that thing, that he can use you to reach somebody else. That's the difference between us today and the book of James or the Old Testament. John chapter 9, look at verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus says, duh. Not really, but you know, that's the way it looks sometimes. Who was I talking? Clinton. There's one of them remarks. You know, the guy sticks his foot in his mouth. There. We were talking about that earlier. So they assumed that because of sin he had this sickness. Well, he didn't. Verse 3. Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents. Look at verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Now this is the guy who was healed. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? See, he's not saved. Uh-uh. He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto them, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee now. Now that's strange. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. So he got healed and before he ever got saved. Some today teach that if you're sick, it's because of sin, as I said before, and you're just full of devils. Well, you may be full of devils, but it's they teach that if you don't get healed, it's because you're not right with God, and that's not according to Scripture. You say they teach that? They teach that today in some of your mainline denominations, okay? They also teach that healing, now listen to this, is in the atonement. In other words, when you got saved, you got everything about you got healed. Well, now at the rapture, that'll happen, okay? We won't have a problem at the rapture. It'll all be taken care of. But the atonement was when you got saved, your spirit got healed. It got born again with Christ's spirit sealed in you. Your body has not been atoned for yet. Right? The rapture, it will be. So see, they kind of messed the scriptures up there. And because when you got saved, you got sealed with the Spirit of Christ in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14. And so that's another false teaching. The Bible says that medicine doeth well, but it should be taken the last resort. And America has been geared to take it first. I'm telling you, folks, They hook you on medicine, and then you can't get off. You better go. Now, hey, sometimes it has to be. Okay? And that's just the way it is. But when we come down sick, we are to real seriously take that thing to God and get the church to pray for us. And because when I was sick, the Lord, after 2 years of it, so I'm kind of slow about getting things, the Lord said, all I want you to do is accept it. Accept it. Do you have any idea how many people you can help? And I want you to be happy about it. Fine. Well, I am about 150% better. But I still, if I'm start being dumb, eating wrong things, God says, really? You're going to go back there? But so folks, but we should go to him first and say, can you heal me? Do I need to go to the doctor? He'll tell you. My heart operation. He planned that thing out, and I said, I'm going to have to, he says, I want you to accept what they're doing. And I kicked and I finally said, okay, I will. And I hope I was a blessing to somebody. But folks, this thing of healing is a big thing today. And so we need to go to God. And maybe he wants us to go to the doctor. Maybe we have to have this operation. Maybe we have to take these pills. Maybe we do. But let him confirm it. That's all I'm getting at. Okay? Now, so the Bible says that medicine is good, but it should be used our last resort. We should ask God to take care of us first. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Matthew 9:12, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So if you're sick, there's time for physicians, there's time for medicines, but you are to let God lead you to it. Amen? Today, in the world, they come, and it's been geared that way. A little bit of sickness, what do? They go take antibiotics. Folks, antibiotics are going to affect you some way or another every time you take them. But sometimes you have to. Because of my operation, I have to take antibiotics just before I go to the dentist every time now. Do I like it? No. The dentist says, I'm sorry, we don't like to do this, but this has to be done. And I say, I know. So I do it. But anyway, so let's just talk to the Lord about it first. Amen? Let him direct us and guide us. So let's talk about this oil real quick. And go to the book of Exodus. Now, remember, and I said they use olive oil to anoint you with. But you say, where'd they get that from? You really want to know? They got it from Rome. Yeah. Because it ain't Bible. Sorry, look at Exodus chapter 30. I know I can sure mess up. Well, the Bible can sure mess up a lot of teaching. But go to Exodus chapter 30 and give me a few minutes here. Again, this is the only place in the Bible where it's told what the anointing oil really is. Okay? And it's not olive oil. And matter of fact, let's just read it. Look at Acts. Exodus 30. All right. Exodus 30, look at verse 23. Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassius, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil, a hin. And thou shalt, now olive oil's in this, okay, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy anointing, no, of ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary, which is where you get your word pharmacist, you know. It shall be a holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle, the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testament, and the tabernacle and all its vessels and the candlestick, and it goes through there of everything that you're supposed to do. And look at verse 20, and we read that. Look at verse 28, and the altar, the burnt offering, and its vessels, and the laver, and his foot, and thou shalt sanctify them that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. Verse 31, and thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may administer unto me in the priest's office. Verse 32, and verse 31, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Now, question. Who are we dealing with here in Exodus? The Hebrews, Jews. Who are we dealing with over in the book of James? And he said it's going to be for them for generations. It never stops. Okay? Verse 32. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. Oh, wait a minute. Neither shall you make any other like it. After it, after the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Huh. Only the priest could anoint mix this, conjure up this stuff. Well, sure messes up a lot of things. Now, the only other place in the Bible where a person is anointed is a king, over in 2 Kings chapter 9. But the oil is not poured upon his flesh, it's on his head. That's the only other place. Look at Psalms 133. I mean, sorry to bust your bubble about the anointing oil, but that's where it came from. And I guess every denomination tries it. And they get, and here's the problem. And people wonder why they don't get healed. Psalms 133. Listen to this, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. Now remember, we just read that where it was put, that ran down upon the beard of even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirt. So people, the church today, even the Jewish nations, was to dwell together in unity, and that thing was like how precious that when them all them different elements of that oil was put together, and how God blessed it, and you could apply that to the church today. That's how we're to do it, okay? Because what is the oil a type of? Holy Spirit, right? So, look at one more. Look at Mark chapter 6. Let me find my, yeah, Mark 6. Now I have preachers, and do I say anything? Nope. No, none of my business. Mark chapter 6, look at verse 5. And he could there do no more mighty works, let's talk about Christ, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Now notice, he healed them even when they didn't believe. Okay? And he went around about the village teaching. And so this is what Christ... Now notice, Christ healed them because of... Did he do it because of their faith? No. These healers today say that if a person doesn't get healed, it was because of their lack of faith. But only in James, over there we read that the people get healed by the faith of the elders. Did you read that? Isn't that strange? The guy in the book of James doesn't even need to have faith. It's the faith of the elders that's going and praying for them will get them healed. A lot of false teaching. Let me ask you a question. Did Judas heal the sick? Yes, he did. Look at verse 6. Let me get back over. Where am I at? Mark. Yeah. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that Judas healed and cast out devils out of, and he wasn't saved. He also took the Lord's Supper. Okay? It says in the book of John 6 that he was a devil. And he still cast out and healed people. Matthew 7:22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then Christ is saying, I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Isn't that wild? The devil has power to counterfeit. You can see that in Matthew 24. He also has power to cast down lightning down from heaven. Revelation 13 and 16. And so, let me cut to about this anointing with oil. There was a young preacher. One of his people called him to come over and anoint his wife with oil so he could have children. Young preacher had never done this before. Didn't know what to use. He didn't have time, so he went out in his garage and he got some 3-in-1 oil. Went out there and anointed her, and she had triplets. And he come back and says, oh, I'm glad I didn't use WD-40. Anyway, but folks, it's the devil has power to do this. And so there was time when people got healed on the faith of others. There was times when people got healed without any faith. Then there were people that got healed with no faith. And so let's go back and over and read our context. And so remember the context of which we're reading in. Does God still heal? Absolutely. He gets healed from the prayers of his saints. Or he heals our connection with God to heal a person is through our prayer. But God does the healing. And he likes to heal. And he really does. And so, verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Anything wrong with that? No, I don't really want to anoint you with oil, but we'll certainly come out and pray for you. Amen? And the prayer of faith, now remember, this is not the sick guy that's got the faith. It's the elders. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. You know That does not. How do you get your sins confessed, forgiven? Confess them and repent. If I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all. These people are getting that person, and it's dealing with sin. This sickness is. You know why? It looks like he might have took the mark. They shall be forgiven him. Absolute forgiveness. No misfires. It's going to happen. That's not the way we get our sins forgiven. Confessing your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we know our New Testament teaches that. Amen? That's the way it is. So, okay. And so, this is, you can come on up to the piano. It's teaching today. What do you do when you're sick? Well, is there anything wrong with calling for the preacher and the men of the church? No, absolutely not. And if you're in a hospital, nothing wrong. Coming and praying. Jim was there. Go and pray with him. A lot of people. People come and prayed with me in the hospital. That was a blessing other pastors did. But the simple fact of it is to think just because some of the preachers come and pray over you or some man prays over you or some guy slaps you in the forehead and you think you're going to get healed, God does not require, He's not required to do any of that. But I want you to concentrate. It's on the prayer. We're to pray for one another when we're sick. And we don't know the mind of God, so we pray for them to heal them. And when we say, well, all I can do is pray for you, no, that's the most you can do for them. Pray for them. And when we are sick, before we run to the doctor, let's talk to God about it. See what He's got in mind. Now, like I say, when you get my age and get older, things change. But young people, you can detour a lot of this stuff. You really can. Matt, do you still have to take stuff for your leg? You don't. Okay, I didn't know. Bill, do you still take anything for your heart operation? Do you? Yeah. Well, I'm supposed to. When I remember, I do. Jim, I think you still have to take stuff. Hey, that's just, Sherry, you take? Well, good. Amen. You know, in life, things happen, and that's just the way it is. Amen. But we need to go to God about things, and let Him heal us first. And I hope that you understand that. That this kind of showed you some things of what's going on. There's a lot of foolishness been done to Christians, and then when it doesn't work, they're heartbroken. And you know what? They think God doesn't love them anymore, that God's mad at them. No, they just had some preacher pull something over that he didn't know what he's talking about. We saw a lot of different cases of today. So anyway, you're sick? Give us a call. We'll come pray for you. Amen. Don't. And if it's God's will that He heals you, amen. And if it's God's will that you don't get healed, then amen. He wants you to maybe just say, okay, you know what? You know, do you understand how God used Paul's sickness to be a blessing to others? Yeah. We need to let Him use us the way He wants to be a blessing. Do what we can. Mike, diabetic now. Try to straighten that thing up with the change in your eating habits. Amen. Amen. Kind of a shock though, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you look good. But that's what we need to do. Just kind of redirect things, and And a lot of that stuff can be changed for you younger people at your age now. Don't wait till you get our age. Amen? So, okay. So, got a song?